taken time to come and be with us, especially those who are visiting with us. We thank you for your presence this evening. We are going to conclude this evening the little series on the home that began last Sunday morning with two lessons, Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, and we're concluding it this evening. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read the first 4 verses from the New King James Translation, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Over the last couple of months, we've taken various topics and addressed them specifically to the idea of the home environment and parents teaching their children various things. The last time we talked about it was the matter of being honest. And the last Sunday and tonight, we're going to finish up the idea of respect. And when we talk about respect, we are talking about the word honor as well. They're used interchangeably in most translations of the scriptures. And when we talk about the idea of respect or honor, we're talking about the attitude that says that we are going to feel or show deferential regard for someone in this case. I thought it might be good to just take a moment and give a dictionary definition of the idea of deferential. It really comes from deference, and it is to respect and esteem due to superior or an elder, also affected or ingratiating. It's in a real fine print here. Yes, ingratiating regard for others' wishes. That's what we're talking about, giving deference to an individual. Over the last couple of lessons, we have talked about what the Bible says about honor. We've looked at a number of passages regarding the value of learning honor. And this evening, we're going to talk about the responsibility that parents have, and as we've talked throughout the series, grandparents as well, in bringing our children up in need to learn to respect others and other things, even at times. The reason I mentioned the idea of grandparents, as we talked last Sunday, it's often easy for grandparents to take the attitude, and there can be bumper stickers about the idea that it's grandma and grandpa's job to spoil the children. No, it's not. It's our responsibility to be a part of the parents' efforts in raising the children to be godly men and women one day. So it's something that we all are involved in and we all participate in. As we begin examining this question tonight, we notice, first of all, that we talk about or are talking about the idea of we as parents and grandparents, and actually every adult, giving and showing a respect. It is something that is to be given. It is something that another individual can expect. It's not appropriate to take the attitude that children do not have the right to be respected, that they shouldn't be honored. I know that oftentimes we look at passages, as I've talked in the past, we look at passages that have broad meaning for relationships and often forget to bring them into the home. One of those is over in Matthew, the 7th chapter. In verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is a passage that we've often called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. That's true for you and I as parents. When we're talking to our children, when we're teaching our children, we need to show them the respect that is due them. We need to practice it. We need to allow our children to reach a point where they know that when their behavior is of such a nature that it is something to be respected, we do respect it. And then, therefore, we are willing and able to say to our children, we expect you to show the respect as well. When we as parents show a great deal of disrespect for our children, it becomes difficult for them to understand a message of giving respect to one who has been disrespectful to them. I'm not talking about whether or not they like a particular rule we've put in place. I'm not talking about whether or not they like a particular punishment they've got. I'm talking about that simple attitude of indeed treating others as we would want to be treated in the general course of affairs, in the general course of life. That's what's expected. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about this sense that we should be willing to give respect and expect respect. I would suggest one other thing in this matter. Many times, parents assume that they can wait until their children get older before they expect them to show respect. I think it's wonderful that I've seen here and in other places. Most parents get the point from a very small age. They're telling their children to show respect to other people, even children of their own age. It sets for them that frame of mind of the expectation on others' part of being respectful to others. So it's important that we keep that in mind as we talk about the idea of learning respect. Another thing we need to be willing to do is teach by example. Now, last week I made the point that sometimes there are going to be occasions when you'll simply say to your child that indeed they need to do something because he said so. That should be a rarity. It usually should be because they have been taught what they are expected to do. And the same is true with regard to the idea of showing respect. We teach by the example that we're giving. Again, looking at Matthew and the promise there of doing what we expect others to do for us. That very simple principle carries throughout our lives, and it needs to be in their lives as well. Another thing that I think is very important and sometimes overlooked is the importance of apologies. Especially as your children get older. It can be difficult for us as men in particular to acknowledge a wrong that we have done to our children because we are so used to being right. And I don't mean that facetiously. We've tried to do what God wants of us. We've laid down laws that God wants us to lay down and set parameters for our children that God wants us to set. But occasionally, we don't handle a situation correctly. Occasionally, we do that provoking that we read there in Ephesians that we're not to do. Occasionally, we've overstepped and shown disrespect to our child when we shouldn't have shown them disrespect. I think on those occasions, we as parents need to be willing to acknowledge, fouled up, we made a mistake, maybe we lost our temper. That teaches our children that it's okay to apologize. Now you may think, well, how does that do so? I would suggest to you it does so because the persons that our children look up to most in their early years and in their formative years are mom and dad. And when they see that mom and dad are willing to acknowledge a mistake on their part, then they see that as a valuable lesson. They understand the importance of the apology that is to be given. Over in James, the 4th chapter, it says there in verse 6, "For he gives more grace, therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." It's a biblical principle. Many times we're not willing to give an apology to somebody because we let our pride get in the way. And there are times, I promise you, that our children pick up on why we didn't apologize. There are times our children will pick up on the fact, I know they were wrong, but they were just too proud to admit it to me. They weren't going to make that point. Be careful. Again, this is one of those passages that we can think about in a general sense as we react to others, it's applicable in the home as well. So we need to have an attitude that says, indeed, we are willing to apologize when necessary, when we've shown disrespect to our child, when we've lost our temper over a situation that we should have handled in a different fashion. Let's be willing to apologize when necessary. Here's a point that begins to get through a series of things that are difficult at times for us to comprehend. And that is the idea of giving praise and recognition. I don't know any of you really, really well. I don't know what your past has been like. A few of you, some bits and pieces of information. But there are individuals, and again, to us men, oftentimes, we find it very difficult to heap praise on somebody. Especially if, after all, they only did what they were expected to do. I told them to do it. They did it. What's the big deal? And because of that attitude, we often miss opportunities to instill within our children that sense of honor that has been shown for the behavior that they have given. I think one of the things we need to be willing to do is get specific when we're talking about the idea of showing our child recognition and praise. Oftentimes, we get into a routine to where we simply will say, oh, that was a good job. That was a good job. Every now and then, we may throw in, it was a nice job. That was a really good job. And it always stays just in those short phrases and vague comments. Perhaps it would be good for us to remember that when they are vague like that, they just become words spoken. It probably has happened to all of us in our jobs, those who are adults. We've had somebody say, that was a good job, and they would have said, that was a good job if we'd have done a great job, or they'd have said, that is a good job if it simply got something done that needed to be done, and not much effort was put in, but it met a deadline. Okay, good job. Our children need to understand that there's more to it in the course of life than simply the baseline of good job, something that is nice. I think that it's important that we understand that it is important that we should as parents be willing to dig into what is going on in our children's lives and be aware of what lifts them up, what helps them to understand the respect that we're showing them by the things that they are doing. There was an example I read about in a book one time. There was a little girl, Elsa was her name. It was within her nature to be a good and tidy child. She kept her room immaculate. She always cleaned up her desk. She made sure everything was in place at all times. And she just basically was taken for granted because she was always doing things very well. Her mother stepped back one time and realized that she wasn't pointing out to her the really excellent qualities that she was exhibiting by this sense of caring about how things looked around her and taking care of her. So one night she went into her bedroom as she was getting ready for bed, and she sat down on the bed beside her. And she just made mention of the fact of the way she was always taking care of things, whether it was in the house in general or within her room. And she reminded her that she was possessing the qualities that one day would make her a fine servant of the Lord in helping others, in taking care of the needs of those who might be less fortunate or not able to take care of the things that they wanted to take care of. And no doubt it developed within that little girl a reminder of a spiritual connection with something that even she had taken for granted. And while her mother had taken it for granted, she, I think, said things that would allow her to see a future connection with her activities and a spiritual relationship that was going to develop in years to come. Another thing that's important is the idea of taking action. And this could, in fact, get into the idea of sometimes not always being aware of what's going on in our children's lives. When we talk about the idea of taking action, we need to realize that sometimes there's an even bigger role in what's going on in the child's life. And we want to be a part of that role. We want to help to encourage them and to praise them. There is a slight difference between the idea of praise and the idea of simply encouraging, or rather encouraging. The praise is usually an expression that we give someone, perhaps for a job well done, but encouragement is usually given with a sense of motivating it toward even more. So it is, in a sense, prompting them to further action. We know that as adults when we talk about the idea of encouragement as Christians within the congregation or among other Christians. The same is true for our children. When we really take action and get into it and recognize that sometimes by taking that action, we are encouraging them to move even further beyond where they are now. Encouragement by nature involves creativity and sacrifice. Somebody has written, and it says that with regard to children who feel good about who they are and confident about meeting the challenges they face, when they've been encouraged in these areas, we may not know everything they're facing, but they've got that encouragement now to go out in a different area and say, because of the things that were said by my parents that will move me on to hope to do better in other areas of life, I can handle it. I can deal with it. Another thing that has been suggested is the idea of learning to lavish praise, to learn to lavish the respect on our children. It's easy to criticize. There are some of us who, within our nature, tend to be critical. There are some of us who are able, and I will acknowledge myself to have been one, and perhaps may still be, I would pray, far less than I was years ago. I can point out 10 criticisms quicker than I might see one thing that is great. We need to recognize that it is important that we learn to be lavish when we are recognizing our children and bringing them to the sense of praise and giving them the honor that they deserve. Somebody had suggested some things that have been done. One father who realized that he was rather negligent in doing those kinds of things, he took 10 pennies, and the suggestion was you take 10 pennies and you put them in one pocket, and during the course of the day, if you say something positive and praiseworthy to somebody, especially to the children, especially to somebody in your family, let me say this, when I said to children, it can be for your spouse as well. But what he would do is simply move the penny from one pocket over to the other. And by the end of the day, he would know if he had looked for and seen opportunities to lavish encouraging words and praise on both his children and others. I think that's not a bad idea. If we find ourselves unable to really take the time to be aware this is a praiseworthy moment, rather than simply going on by because we've had a hard day of work, stop and take the moment to give them the praise and the encouragement that they need, and that is so good for them. Another thing that we need to be willing to do is dig deeper. This is not, and I hope it doesn't sound like it's been this evening, it bash fathers serve as well. But the reality is, oftentimes, we as fathers maintain a rather superficial level with our children. Now, my personal observation, and I could be incorrect, I hope I'm not. My personal observation is there are a number of fathers here who are very involved in their children's lives in a very good way. And I thank God for you and the example that you're giving your children. And I hope each and every one of us will recognize that it is important for us to look beyond behavior and to see the child's character. To see and encourage honesty within your child that we talked about in November. To see the idea of diligence. To see the idea of the respect they show, the kindness they show in acknowledging. And it takes effort on our part. I would think that if you looked around and saw someone that you thought really was into their children's lives in a very positive way, I would imagine that if you had a private conversation with them, they would tell you that it did not come lightly, it did not come naturally. They made it a point. Because each and every one of us is busy with a job. Sometimes we may have two jobs. Sometimes there may be stresses in that job that are just unbelievable for us. And when we get home, all we want to do is be left alone. Yet when we get home and we have children at home, and all they want is to have that time with their father, that time for you to dig deeper and show the proper respect, teaching your children to grow and mature as God would want them to mature and become children who grow to be adults who honor God, honor their parents, and honor others. Let's be willing to dig deep. Let's be willing to remember that our responsibility as fathers and mothers is to affirm the good that's being done. And it is to stop the harm that a child might be doing to himself or herself or to others. And all of that's done by us as parents being observant, taking the time, recognizing the importance of and the need for that, learning respect and honor, giving respect and honor. I think when you address a child's behavior, you need to ask yourself, what am I affirming? Many times, if we're not careful, if we become lazy in our parenting, we can inadvertently affirm negative behavior. We can affirm negative behavior by attention that becomes valuable to the child because there's no other way for them to get our attention but through the negative behavior. But if we as parents are affirming the positive things and they know they can expect that affirmation, then the temptation to present negative behavior becomes less and less. I also recognize there are some of us who simply, as children, are out there on the fringe and always needing to be pulled back. But that can be the exception, not the rule, not the standard within a home. The final point that I would bring, and I'm not sure if it's going to show up on the screen, yes, it is. It is going to be the idea of leaving a deep impression, leaving a lasting impression. It's important that we leave a lasting impression. It's important that our children be able to look at the life that they have seen in us as they mature and compare it to what they read in God's Word and compare it to the life that they have had with us. And hopefully, they will recognize the honor that we've taught them, the honor that we've shown them as they've matured as young adults. How can you leave the lasting impression? Some people have gotten very creative with that. There are individuals, now, we never did this, but there are individuals who have family journals. Some have done so from the time their first child was born. And from that family journal, they have talked about various events, and then they as a family have reminisced. You, whether you have a journal or not, You can take times during the course of months and years where you sit with the family and reflect upon a holiday and all the fun that was enjoyed by everyone. You're building that bond, that relationship. You're getting that impression put into the child's mind. One thing that has become rather popular in the last few years, and we had some parents in Middleburg do this as their children graduated. They asked members of the congregation to write a letter to their child, and then it was put into a notebook and given to the child at graduation. I've seen and read, seen videos where men in particular have organized themselves in a very loose sense, but in a sense that we want to raise honorable young men. Ladies, we want to raise honorable young women. And so they intend and make an agreement among themselves to see that that daughter or that son is raised with a sense of respect and honor for others. And then there are some who have had very lavish little ceremonies besides the graduation ceremony, as they're formally introducing their young man, young lady, to adulthood as they graduate from high school. These are just some suggestions with the idea of really getting deeper into the relationship that we have, leaving an impression on our children. It is important that we indeed require respectful behavior in speech. Young children learn at a young age what they can say and what they can do. And if we allow our children to get away with words that should not be spoken, tempers that should not be expressed, actions that should not be taken, then we will be affirming to them the validity of those words, those actions, those behaviors that others. What we need to do is take seriously the idea that we hold our children to a standard that is higher than the standard that is in the United States. We need to hold our children, and we as grandparents need to join with our children in holding them to those higher standards. Over in Colossians, Paul says this in the 4th chapter, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Again, we think about that passage in a particular context, and I want to, with reverence to the text, taken to the context of a family relationship to make us understand the importance of seeing that our children do indeed say and do behave in ways that God would want them to do. And not only that, it becomes easier because they saw it being acted out by their mother, by their father, by their grandparents, and by the people that they come to church. It is so important that we're teaching our children respect. Let that be a valuable portion of the character building that you engage in as you raise your children. And indeed, we all should be praying every time we pray throughout the day. Find a time in one of your prayers to mention specifically those within this congregation who are parenting their children at this time, who are actively parenting very small children and those who are about to go off to college. They have an awesome responsibility. They need our prayer. We pray that God will bless each and every one of you for the efforts that you're putting forth with your children. Those are the things I wanted to share with you with regard to the idea of teaching our children the value of respect. 1 John, the first chapter, you know it's time for the invitation. It talks about walking in the light as He is in the light and having fellowship with one another. If you're walking in darkness, it's time for you to turn to the light, Jesus Christ. I suspect. expect everybody in this audience this evening understands what's involved in that. Knowing you're in darkness and coming to the light of Jesus. There's a need for anybody here to respond to the invitation, either seeking the prayers of the saints on your behalf, or one who might desire to die with Christ in battle. We give you that opportunity by having the seat in the front. We stand together as we speak.